utterance comes from the Spirit out of your body. Revelation comes from the Spirit into your soul or body. You see, utterance just comes out of you. It just comes out of you as you speak it forth. Speaking in tongues, it comes from the Spirit out of your body as you speak it forth. Interpretation, prophecy, these other things. Speaking a rhema just comes out of you by the Spirit of God. It comes out of your body. But revelation comes out of the Spirit and into your soul or body. See, revelation comes from the Spirit into your soul or body. And that's the difference between the two. And we're talking about spiritual knowledge in our formula of grace and love times spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith produces spiritual results, workings of miracles and gifts of healings. And revelation comes from the Spirit into your soul or body. And it comes in an understanding that your soul understands. For instance, if you're a farmer, if you're working on the Shamba, the Lord will teach you through farming. If you're working in a machine shop, then the Lord will teach you through that which you're familiar in. He will work with you on an individual basis. See, this is why I can't teach you to receive revelation, because I don't know you very well. The Lord knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought you think. He knows everything that's happened to you in the past. He knows everything that's going to happen to you in the future. He knows you. He knows you. And He is in the perfect position, being in you, to teach you how to receive revelation. He knows what you'll understand. And He'll always give you revelation in a form, in a way, that you personally can understand. That's right. In 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 20, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, when you read different men of God, they were moved in different ways. They were moved by different things. Why? Because they were different individuals. That's why Isaiah got a different revelation than Amos did. That's why Jonah got a different revelation than Moses did. Why? Because they were different men, different situations. And the Lord worked with them uniquely. And He will work with you in light of your understanding. He knows you. He loves you. He desires to fellowship with you. You got to understand, and you and I must understand, that revelation is His idea. It's not our idea. It's His idea to be led by the Spirit. This is something that He initiated. And we're only learning to trust Him and to follow Him. But it's His idea. And He'll teach you on the level that you understand, bless your heart. That's right. That's why a child who's 4 or 5 or 6 years old can learn to receive revelation from the Lord of heaven and earth. Why? Because the Lord will speak to him on his level. That's why an older man can receive revelation. Why? Because the Lord will speak to him on his level. That's why a woman can receive revelation, because the Lord will speak to her on her level. He knows you. He knows your intellectual background. He knows your parents. He knows everything. And He will speak to you in such a way that you can understand. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 1, it says in verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree." Now, the rod of an almond tree apparently was something that communicated to Jeremiah. To me, I don't know what an almond tree looks like. It could, he could show me the rod of an almond tree. Wouldn't mean anything to me. But it meant something to Jeremiah. It communicated. Because that's what revelation is. It's communication. It's communication. It's the communication of God communicating His will to you. And He can show it. And He'll work with you on a level that you understand. Now, I remember one time I was walking through the forest, and there was all these giant trees around. There was all these giant trees around. And I had some questions. I was asking the Lord some things about my life. I was asking about, you know, why I was where I was and what I was doing and kind of how my ministry was working, this kind of thing. And I had some questions. And I came across this little tree that was growing up in a clearing. There was big, great big trees all the way around. But in this little clearing, the sun was able to shine through, and this little tree was standing by itself. And the Lord said to me, He spoke to me, and He said, "You are like that little tree. The reason why I haven't surrounded you with a whole group of other ministers is because I want my light to shine upon you. And I want you to grow up." See? If that tree was surrounded by big trees, then the light that that tree needed to grow would have been cut off. But that tree was growing up in a field all by itself. And when He spoke to me and He told me that I was that little tree and that He had set me apart to be alone, basically, and to grow up and to receive the maximum amount of light and the maximum amount of exposure to Him, then I knew what He was talking about, because I understood the growth process of those trees. You see, He spoke to me on a level that I could understand. Just as He spoke to Jeremiah on a level that he could understand. Just as He will speak to you on a level that you can understand in your soul. That's right. You see, Jesus stands at the door and He knocks of your heart. And He's waiting to come in and sup with you and fellowship with you and teach you on a level that you understand. You've spent all your life in the Central African Republic. Well, Jesus has been there all your life with you. He understands everything about you. He understands everything about the Central African Republic. And He can teach you in light of your culture, in light of your background. You don't need to come to America to learn about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is right there where you live. That's right. You know, I run into everybody. Everybody wants to come to America. Like, going to America is going to heaven. It's not. It's just as sinful as where you live. It's just as hard to live here as it is to live where you live if you're living in sin. But if you walk with the Holy Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you can prosper, you can be blessed, you can live abundantly wherever you are. Why? Because He is there. And He is your source of blessing. He is everything you need. Glory to God. Don't think of coming to America. Stay where you're at. You're needed right there. The reason you were born there is because you're needed there. And unless the Holy Spirit tells you by revelation to go to America, then you stay where you're at. Or go wherever He tells you to go. But you were born there for a reason. You were born there because there's people there that you need to reach. And you just need to be led by the Spirit. And you can have all the things that you desire in your life. That's right. That's right. Glory to God. How do I receive revelation? Well, my responsibility is to believe God that He's going to give it to me. My responsibility is to believe God that He's going to give it to me. And if I need to know, then He's got to show me. Because He promises in Philippians 4:19, let's look there. How do I receive God? How do I receive revelation? I believe God that He will give it to me when I need it. Because His Word says, "My God shall supply all your need." This is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." If I need revelation, He will give it to me. I believe that. That's all that's required for me to receive revelation, is to believe that He will give it to me. And as I believe Him, and as He's willing to give it, then He gives it. See? Revelation comes at two different times, when you ask for it and when you don't ask for it. And it's as the Spirit wills to give it. You know what? If I ask for revelation and I don't receive any, then I assume I don't need to know anything. That's right. But I ask for revelation, and when I ask for revelation, and when He decides to give it to me, then He gives it to me, then I know. But if I don't need to know something, then He won't tell me. It's just that right, because it's all on a need-to-know basis. It's all on a need-to-know basis. And it comes to you, revelation comes to you, when you ask for it and believe God that He'll give it to you. Then at times, it comes sovereignly, when you don't ask for it. That's right. I'll just be walking along at times, and the Lord will say something to me. Just, as we say, out of the blue. I'll just be walking along, and He'll show me something, or He'll say something to me. That's His privilege. He's the Lord. He's always with me. I talk to Him. He talks to me. It's simple. It's simple. If you just understand the Lord as being physically there with you, He talks to me when He wants to talk to me. I talk to Him. Sometimes I talk to Him and He doesn't want to talk to me. Other times He talks to me, He initiates the conversation. That's how it comes. And I simply expect that when I ask Him for something, knowing that it's a need, that He'll give it to me. That's right. I'm going to pray for someone. I need to know what to pray for. Lord, show me what to pray for. And then He shows me. I pray for it and it gets healed. That's right. Because I need to know. You'll receive revelation at two different times, when you ask for it and when you don't ask for it. So always, always, always be sensitive to your spirit. Because there'll be times that He'll speak to you, and you, if you're not sensitive to your spirit, you'll think that it's just another thought coming into your mind that you thought. But no, it's coming from the Lord. And you need to be sensitive to your spirit. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you don't try to figure everything out. But you're always acknowledging Him, and He'll direct your paths. That's what Proverbs 3:5-6 says. That's how to receive revelation. That's how to be led by the Spirit. That's how to walk with God. Trust in the Lord. Don't try to figure everything out. Always acknowledge Him all day long, and that might mean 30, 40, 50 times during the day. I talk to Jesus all the time. I talk to Him about everything. I talk to Him all. I acknowledge His presence all the time. And sometimes He answers back, and sometimes He doesn't. And sometimes He starts the conversation. That's right. Because it's as the Spirit wills. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall. There's the promise of God. He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Glory to God. You see, revelation comes to the inner man of spirit. It comes to the inner man of spirit. We've had this verse before. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. That He would grant you, verse 16, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You see, revelation comes from the Holy Spirit to the inner man of spirit. Then your spirit, being a part of you, can communicate it to your mind. That's right. That's right. The Holy Spirit speaks to you through your inner man, through your spirit man. And the Holy Spirit, as He works through your spirit of man, enlivens your soulish mind, your brain. Say, your brain. That's right. He enlivens your understanding. He enlivens the spirit within you, strengthens and enlivens your mind. He makes you smart. He makes you sharp. That's right. He makes you aware. He makes you knowledgeable, and He makes you full of power. That's right, as you are led by His Spirit. You will see it. You'll hear it. You'll smell it. You'll taste it. You'll touch it. Or you'll just know it at times. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, bless your heart. Verse 13 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you." There's a promise of God, you see. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He'll show you things to come. Not just things to come in biblical prophecy, but things to come in your life. He will show you things to come. He'll show you how to avoid things. He'll show you how to avoid snares and traps that the devil has placed in your path. He'll show you where he wants you to go in the future. He'll show you what the devil's plans are for you in the future, and he shows you what the Lord's plans are for you in the future. He will show you things to come so that you make the right decisions. You should know when major things happen in your life even before they happen, because he'll show you things to come. And if you'll stay sensitive to the Spirit, he will keep you aware and keep you sharp so that you're not defeated, but that you take that situation and use it for the maximum advantage for the kingdom of God. Glory to God. That's right. Oh, I can tell you story after story of the things that the Lord has shown me, and that if I've stayed aware of what he was showing me, I avoided the problem. Or if I didn't stay aware of it, even though he showed it, just because he shows it to you doesn't mean that you're going to handle it right, because you've got to receive a word of wisdom. At times he'll show you things and you'll still get into a disaster even though he showed it to you, and he'll teach you afterwards how you missed it. That's right. I've had this happen. Glory to God. But what a great promise. He'll show you things to come, and he'll show you how to avoid them. He'll show you how to avoid the traps of the enemy, and he'll show you how to fulfill the walk by the Spirit in fulfilling your course and your ministry in life. Glory to God. And you know, he does it. He'll show you things in pictures. He'll show you things in pictures. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1 says, It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of or from the Lord. I will receive visions. I will come to visions and revelations from the Lord. If God would do this for Paul, he'll do it for you, because God is no respecter of persons. He will show you things by revelation. He will show you things by revelation. And we'll talk in a later session about developing your spiritual perception. And basically, when he really talks to me is those times when I'm quiet and in prayer. That's right. He talks to me in those times when I'm quiet and in prayer. He shows me things by revelation. Look at Acts chapter 10. Here was Peter up on the housetop. Verse 9, on the morrow as they went on their journey, drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. This was an open vision. This was an open vision. You see, there's different degrees of visions that you'll see, or pictures that you'll see. Most times, when I receive revelation in pictures, it's just a very quick thing. It's a very, very quick thing. But there are times, and there have been times, when the Lord has just basically taken me out of my senses and just taken me into the spirit realm and taught me things and showed me things. See, this is what the Word calls a trance, when you're basically so into the spirit realm that you're just not aware physically of your physical surroundings. You're just not aware of your physical surroundings. You're just into the spirit realm, and he's showing you things. This doesn't happen every day. In fact, if you have one in your life, you're a blessed person. But he does show you things very quickly in pictures at times, in other degrees of revelation. You see, there's different degrees of visions that you'll get. But the kind of trance vision that Peter had here, it doesn't say that he had it every day. But this was a very special situation so that he could take it and minister to the Gentiles and open the Word of God to the Gentiles. See? But he can, if he did it for Peter, he can do it for you. And he's done it for men in the past, down through the centuries. You'll see things. You'll see things. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Perhaps the most concise verse on Revelation that I know in the Bible. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1. The revelation, apocalypse, of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's right. God the Father gave the revelation to Jesus, who gave it to his servants through the Holy Spirit. And in this case, he gave it to him through an angel. That's right. To show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That's what he promised the Spirit would do in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, and he shall show you things to come. If you walk by the Spirit, and if you spend much time in prayer, you'll have very few surprises in your life. You'll have very few things come up that you do not already know about and that you're not already prepared to handle. Glory to God. That's a great truth, what I just said. You'll see it. At times, you'll hear it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here was a situation where Samuel both saw and heard the revelation. First Samuel chapter 9. And in verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. Well, let's get down to verse 15. I don't want to read the whole section here. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. You see, I told you that the Holy Spirit would prepare you for things that come up in your life. If you'll just be led by the Spirit, He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. If you will be led by the Spirit, He will prepare you for them. Here the Lord had prepared Samuel for this event that was coming up. He told him a day in advance. He said, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of Israel. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the Lord said unto him, look, behold the man whom I spake to thee of. He showed him by revelation. And then he said to him, look, there's the man. Behold, the man whom I spoke to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. At this time, Saul had no idea what was going to happen, that he was going to reign over the children of Israel. Samuel had no idea until the day before. But the Lord, who knows everything, was able to prepare Samuel so that he was sharp and that he was able to handle the situation that came up. Samuel both saw it and he heard it. Glory to God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you'll walk by the Spirit, you won't be surprised, because you'll know in advance what's going to happen in your life, both good and bad. That's right. He'll show you what the devil's trying to do, and he'll show you the way he wants you to go. But he'll prepare you. Before I was ever allowed to go minister in Africa, the Lord spent much time preparing me to minister over there. And each time that I go, the Lord prepares me to minister. He shows me what I'm going to be up against. He shows me what's going to happen so that I can deal with it. Now, how well I deal with it is not as good as he shows me at times. But he at least is faithful to show me. And as he gives me word of wisdom, then I'm able to follow it, and I'm able to carry out his will in spite of what happens around me. For instance, he showed me that the car was going to blow up. You see? Had the other men responded to what the Lord showed me, they wouldn't have had that damaged car. Glory to God. But he spoke, and he's faithful, and he will show you things to come. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the Lord and this child Samuel, verse 1, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down into his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, that ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel. He spoke it in an audible voice. You see, just as there's degrees of vision revelation that you'll receive, there's degrees of audio or hearing revelation that you receive. At times it's a still small voice. At times it's a more authoritative voice. At times it's an audible voice, and it sounds just as audibly real to your mind as if somebody was physically speaking to you. This was audible voice revelation. This wasn't a still small voice. I'll show you that in another section. But this was audible voice revelation. There's degrees of hearing revelation as well as degrees of seeing revelation. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." He went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel!" And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "And I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Does that mean that Samuel wasn't saved? No, he was saved. But he just didn't know the Lord in that intimate relationship of knowing the Lord's voice. And that's like so many millions of God's people are. They are saved, but they don't know the Lord. They don't know Him because they haven't spent time with Him. You see, if you're going to be in the university of Jesus, you got to spend time with Jesus. You got to get to know the Lord and know Him on an intimate, personal relationship. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And Samuel called, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he went and rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me, Lord." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Finally, Eli began to realize what was going on. And so Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel! Samuel!" This is five times that he mentioned Samuel's name. Remember I told you that the number five was the number for grace? You see, it's a work of grace that you and I receive revelation. It's not by our works, bless God, because our works are never worthy enough. It's by His mercy and by His grace that He speaks to you and I, His sons and daughters. God has always sought to lead His people by the Spirit. He has always desired to lead His people by the Spirit. He led Adam by the Spirit until Adam willfully and freely sinned. He led the patriarchs by the Spirit all throughout the book of Genesis. He led His children of Israel by the Spirit. And then He has made it available for the church to be led by the Spirit as well. Look at Exodus chapter 23, talking about God's will in blessing the church, or blessing the children of Israel while they were wandering in the desert. He made known His will, and He showed them if they would follow the lead of the Spirit of God as it came through the angel of the Lord, that they would have the blessings in their life. And it says in verse 20 of Exodus chapter 23, it says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way," in other words, to protect thee, "and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Verse 21, "Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversary. For mine angel shall go before thee, and shall bring thee into the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. This angel of the Lord is what most Christians believe to be Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate ministry. But it says that they were to follow the angel of the Lord. And it says in verse 24, "And thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images." In verse 25, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." All these promises to Israel if they would follow the direction and the voice of the angel of the Lord. "And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill." It's, "I will give you a full-time lifespan." A full lifespan is what the Lord is saying here. All these great promises, if we hearken to the voice of the Lord, if we follow the voice of the Lord, if we're led by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, and in verse 14, this is God's will for the church as well. In Romans chapter 8, and in verse 14, and it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You and I are to be led by the Spirit, and it has always been God's will for His people to be led by the Spirit. It's always been God's will for His people to be led by the Spirit. And as we're led by the Spirit, as we hearken to the voice of the Lord, then He is able to bring these blessings into our life. If we don't hearken to the voice of the Lord, then we sin and we open ourselves up to curses and we open up ourselves to judgment that comes against us. So it's a very serious and very crucial thing that you learn to hearken to the voice of the Lord. And in our formula for seeing spiritual results, the formula for seeing spiritual results is grace and love times spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith produces spiritual results. Now, we've covered grace and love, and we've covered spiritual utterance in a very detailed manner, and we're looking at spiritual knowledge. And we've learned that spiritual knowledge is, there's three manifestations of the Spirit that deal with spiritual knowledge. They are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And we've learned that word of knowledge and word of wisdom, the word, W-O-R-D, the word in that phrase, word of knowledge, comes from the Greek word logos, as opposed to the other Greek word rhema. And the word logos means a communication, a declaration. And as a rhema is only a spoken word, it's a spoken word. A logos can be any form of communication that God chooses. He can show visions. He can give you voices. He can give you a feeling. He can even give you a sense of taste or a sense of smell. He can put a knowingness within you. He can give you dreams. He can send you into trances. He can do personal visitations, see? And all of these would communicate and could communicate His Logos to you, which would be a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or discerning of spirits, giving you that spiritual knowledge that you need to be able to do His will, see? To be able to do His will. Now, by the end of this class, we'll be able to put this whole formula together. We begin to set the pattern of it, but we need to understand each specific aspect of it, and then we'll put the whole thing together before the class is over with. But we saw that God can give different types of visions. He can give open visions where you are in a trance and you your senses, your physical senses are suspended, so to speak, and you are in the spirit realm. But most, the normal, I should, you know, if I could use that word in regards to Revelation, but the more usual types of visions that he gives are just very quick, clear pictures that you understand. He always communicates to you on a level and in a way that you personally would understand. He would communicate to me differently than he would communicate to you because I come from a different background. I'm a different person than you are. The things that would communicate to you may not communicate to me. For instance, God showed Jeremiah the rod of an almond tree, and that meant something to Jeremiah that God wanted to communicate to him. To me, the rod of an almond tree is you know, he might as well show me, a baseball bat or a basketball hoop. These are things that I would understand as opposed to something in the agricultural realm or the rod of an almond tree. You see, he'll communicate to you on your level what you understand because he knows you. He lives with you. He's right there with you. He knows the very hairs on your head. And not only will he communicate to you in visions at times, frequently, but he'll also speak to you. And just as there are degrees of visions, there are degrees of hearing the voice of the Lord. There's a still small voice. There's a more authoritative voice. There is an audible voice. These are at least three distinctly different ways that he can speak to you in the sense of speaking. And we saw Samuel, that the Lord called Samuel five times, and it was so clear and so sharp that Samuel thought it was Eli. He thought he was being called by his mentor and his master, Eli. But it wasn't Eli, it was the Lord, and this was an audible voice revelation. This was an audible voice revelation. See? In Exodus chapter 19, let's look at Exodus chapter 19. Here, the Lord communicated with Moses. In Exodus chapter 19, and in verse 19, it says, "And the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, and Moses spake, and God answered him with a voice. It doesn't say what kind of voice it was. It just says it was with a voice. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings versus 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19. This was Elijah meeting the Lord on the mountaintop, and the devil was doing a bunch of things, causing earthquakes, causing fires, causing a great stormy wind and all this kind of stuff. But the Lord wasn't in those things. That was the devil's distraction. In verse 12 it says, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." A still small voice. See, this wasn't an audible voice like Samuel experienced. This was a still small voice. A still small voice. And yet it was the Lord speaking. It was the Lord whispering in his ear. A still small voice. See? Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. These are different ways that the Lord will speak to you. Different ways that the Lord will communicate to you. Because it's the word logos here in Word of Knowledge and Word of Wisdom, and it carries the same truth over into discerning of spirits, in receiving spiritual knowledge. You've got to become aware of the voices that you hear, whether they're physical or spiritual. And there's also an awareness that you have that we'll talk about later, where you must discern between demon spirits talking to you and the true Spirit of God. But before we get to that, I want you to understand that the Lord will speak to you in a voice, a still small voice, or it could be a more authoritative voice, like in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And in verse 19, it says, while Peter thought on the vision, he had seen a vision, he had been in a trance, and he saw a vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, it doesn't say that this was an audible voice. Peter didn't mistake this voice for someone talking to him. But it was an authoritative voice that gave him a command. You see, there's different types of voices that you'll hear coming from the Lord. Different types of voices. Still small voice, a more authoritative voice, and then it's possible to even hear what you would think was an audible voice. That's right. Different types of voices. In all of this, you must understand that God is working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Look at Philippians chapter 2. You must understand that He is working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. For it is God, verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2, it is God which worketh in you. Say with me right now, say, God works in me. You say it. Say, God works in me. Say it right now. God works in me. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The privilege, and I think of the awesome and unbelievable and indescribable privilege that we have to have God working in us is beyond my mind to understand, but I'll praise Him all the days of my life for the privilege for me, a little guy like me, just little old me, just Kevin, just me, that the God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, would even take the time to talk to me once in my life is a privilege of grace beyond my description. But then to think that He doesn't just talk to me once in my life, that He works in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. This is an understanding of grace that's beyond my mind. There's nothing that I've done to earn this. There's nothing that I've done to make myself worthy of this. It's totally by His grace. It's totally a work of His grace. I praise Him every day that He so loves me that He works within me to will and to do of His good pleasure. And yet that's what the Word says. It's so good, but you say, well, yes, that's what the Word says. I have to believe it, even though it's so unbelievable to me. See, the Lord works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, and He shows us visions. He talks to us. And you must always understand that revelation and being led by the Spirit was His idea in the first place. It was His idea. You may think it's the greatest thing that ever happened to you, and it's one of the greatest things that ever happened to you, certainly. But it's His idea. He so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that you and I could walk and talk with Him, that you and I could have fellowship with Him, that you and I could be His dwelling place. We are a blessed people above all peoples. That's right. And to think that we're learning this and that He walks with us and He talks with us day by day, what a privilege of grace that we have. And I'd like to say to you on this tape that the success of your life is dependent upon you being obedient to the voice of the Lord. There's no other barometer for success. There's no other measuring scale for Christian success other than, do I obey the voice of the Lord or do I not obey the voice of the Lord? That is what determines both our rewards in the future and our blessings in this life. That's right. Look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. What God has given us in Christ cannot be lost. But we can lose the blessings of it if we don't if we're not led by the Spirit, if we don't obey the voice of the Lord. We can lose the blessings of it. We can lose the efficacy of it. We can lose the dynamics of it. And we can lose the rewards that we could have had if we'd have stayed faithful. That's why it is very, very important, above all the knowledge and above all the learning that you get in your life, that you learn to hear the voice of the Lord and that you be trained to carry out what He says when He says it and in the way He says it. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me. And this is dependent upon you obeying the voice of the Lord. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's God's promise. That's God's promise. It was God's promise to Israel, and it's God's promise to us today if we obey the voice of the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 15. There is no more important knowledge than you can receive in your Christian walk than to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. And then there is no more important Christian action that you can take in your life than to obey the voice of the Lord. It says in verse 26 of Exodus chapter 15, if thou wilt diligently hearken, listen to those words, diligently hearken, not just listen, but diligently listen, hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Why are Christians getting sick all the time? Why do we have as much sickness among the Christians as we do among the unbelievers? It shouldn't be that way. If we diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, He will keep these sicknesses off of us. He will keep us delivered. He will keep us strong. For He is the Lord that healeth us. He's the Lord that healeth us. Now, if you do occasionally get sick, don't condemn yourself. But even the fact that you got sick doesn't change the Word of God, that He is the Lord who heals us, and if we diligently hearken to His voice and diligently obey that Word that He's given, that He can keep us out of sickness. He can keep us out of disease. That's right, glory to God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And in verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, He will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which He sware unto thee. Verse 36, out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee. And upon earth He showed thee His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. He made known His voice out of heaven. He made thee to hear His voice. That purpose being that He may instruct thee. When the Lord speaks, He is speaking instruction. Remember the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16 where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Not only is the Word of God instruction in righteousness, but the revelation that comes from the Spirit is instruction in righteousness. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. And in a very practical sense, a very, very practical sense. For instance, I told you the incident about the car. See, that blew up. That the Lord told me beforehand it was going to blow up if we'd have taken it. If we'd have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord, we could have avoided all that destruction. You read Acts 27, and we will here in a few minutes, where Paul knew by the Spirit before that shipwreck ever happened that the people could have avoided the shipwreck had they hearkened to the voice of the Lord. You see the practicality of this thing. You see the practicality of walking by the Spirit. He knows what is ahead. He knows what is ahead, and He wants you to avoid it. He wants you to avoid the pitfalls and the dangers in life. He knows how to lead you through it. See? And if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you won't have so much trouble. You'll avoid it. You'll avoid it if you become disciplined and really walk. And you can do this. You know, at times, you'll not only hear revelation, you'll not only see it, but you'll have feelings. You'll have spiritual feelings. Spiritual feelings. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Glory to God. This is wonderful. This is how He communicates to us through the Spirit, through all these different avenues. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. And when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This spiritual compassion that comes over you from time to time is almost, I've seen it in my life, in my healing ministry, it's almost a necessary prerequisite for me to have the anointing to heal. That's right. He has to move within me to have that tenderness, that great overwhelming tenderness and compassion for people. Then I can reach out in faith and see their healing. But this is Him working within. This is the Lord working within. You don't live with this kind of compassion 24 hours a day. Jesus didn't. He wasn't moved with compassion 24 hours a day. He was full of love, but this was the Holy Spirit moving in His life. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion, and the result was a tremendous blessing for God's people. That's right. You see, at times you'll have spiritual burdens. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." You see, it's almost like a weight that comes down upon you. Almost like a spiritual weight that comes down upon you. You feel it. It's a burden. And you have to take time to pray, to lift, and it's a prayer burden. And when the Lord releases you from that burden, then you're through praying. You see, you pray. You receive that burden to pray, and then you pray until the burden is lifted. And if you will do that faithfully, if you will do that faithfully when you get a prayer burden, then you'll hear about miracles that have happened at the same time in the same place in other parts of the world, perhaps even, that the Lord had you as an intercessor giving you that prayer burden to pray for that person who was perhaps 5,000 miles away, and they got the deliverance because of your prayer, and you didn't even know who you were praying for. That's right. All you knew is you had a burden to pray, and then you prayed. See? And you stayed at it until that burden lifted. Until that burden lifted. See? Because you're led by the Spirit. You're not led by your senses. You don't have to know everything. Look at Job, right before Psalms. Job, chapter 6. Even our sense of taste can be led by the Spirit. In verse 30 it says, "Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things?" You'll have this experience at times where if food is bad or food is tainted, the moment it touches your lips, you'll just have the worst taste. And what you do is you don't eat it. You don't eat it. You lay it aside. You courteously get out of eating that plate of food in some way or another, or you eat something else, but you don't eat that thing because that's poison. That's poison, and the devil wants to poison you. He wants you to eat tainted food. He wants you to get sick. But if you'll be led by the Spirit, you won't allow these things into your mouth. Also, at times, with a sense of taste, the Lord has shown me different diseases in other people's body. I'll lay hands on somebody, and I just get the most awful taste in my mouth. And that taste that I'm tasting is not something in my mouth, in my physical mouth, but through my sense of taste, he's showing by the revelation, say, the poison in somebody's stomach that I then minister to. He just shows to me, and as soon as I recognize it, the taste goes away. That's one of the ways I know it's coming from the Spirit. But these are ways that the Holy Spirit leads us as we walk by the Spirit. Utterance comes from the Spirit out of your body. Revelation comes from the Spirit into your soul or body. You see, utterance just comes out of you. It just comes out of you as you speak it forth. Speaking in tongues, it comes from the Spirit out of your body as you speak it forth. Interpretation, prophecy, these other things. Speaking a rhema just comes out of you by the Spirit of God. It comes out of your body. But revelation comes into you. Comes out of the Spirit and into your soul or body. See, revelation comes from the Spirit into your soul or body. And that's the difference between the two. And we're talking about spiritual knowledge in our formula of grace and love times spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith produces spiritual results, workings of miracles and gifts of healings. And revelation comes from the Spirit into your soul or body. And it comes in an understanding that your soul understands. For instance, if you're a farmer, if you're working on the Shamba, the Lord will teach you through farming. If you're working in a machine shop, then the Lord will teach you through that which you're familiar in. He will work with you on an individual basis. See, this is why I can't teach you to receive revelation, because I don't know you very well. The Lord knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought you think. He knows everything that's happened to you in the past. He knows everything that's going to happen to you in the future. He knows you. He knows you. And He is in the perfect position, being in you, to teach you how to receive revelation. He knows what you'll understand, and He'll always give you revelation in a form, in a way, that you personally can understand. That's right. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 20, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, when you read different men of God, they were moved in different ways. They were moved by different things. Why? Because they were different individuals. That's why Isaiah got a different revelation than Amos did. That's why Jonah got a different revelation than Moses did. Why? Because they were different men, different situations. And the Lord worked with them uniquely, and He will work with you in light of your understanding. He knows you. He loves you. He desires to fellowship with you. You got to understand, and you and I must understand, that revelation is His idea. It's not our idea. It's His idea to be led by the Spirit. This is something that He initiated, and we're only learning to trust Him and to follow Him. But it's His idea, and He'll teach you on the level that you understand. Bless your heart. That's right. That's why a child who's 4 or 5 or 6 years old can learn to receive revelation from the Lord of heaven and earth. Why? Because the Lord will speak to him on his level. That's why an older man can receive revelation. Why? Because the Lord will speak to him on his level. That's why a woman can receive revelation, because the Lord will speak to her on her level. He knows you. He knows your intellectual background. He knows your parents. He knows everything. And He will speak to you in such a way that you can understand. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 1, it says in verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Now, the rod of an almond tree apparently was something that communicated to Jeremiah. To me, I don't know what an almond tree looks like. It could, you know, he could show me the rod of an almond tree. Wouldn't mean anything to me. But it meant something to Jeremiah. It communicated. Because that's what revelation is. It's communication. It's communication. It's the communication of God communicating His will to you. And He can show it. And He'll work with you on a level that you understand. Now, I remember one time I was walking through the forest, and there was all these giant trees around. And I had some questions. I was asking the Lord some things about my life. I was asking about, you know, why I was where I was and what I was doing and kind of how my ministry was working, this kind of thing. And I had some questions. And I came across this little tree that was growing up in a clearing. There was big, great big trees all the way around. But in this little clearing, the sun was able to shine through, and this little tree was standing by itself. And the Lord said to me, He spoke to me, and He said, you are like that little tree. The reason why I haven't surrounded you with a whole group of other ministers is because I want my light to shine upon you. And I want you to grow up. See? If that tree was surrounded by big trees, then the light that that tree needed to grow would have been cut off. But that tree was growing up in a field all by itself. And when He spoke to me and He told me that I was that little tree and that He had set me apart to be alone, basically, and to grow up and to receive the maximum amount of light and the maximum amount of exposure to Him, then I knew what He was talking about because I understood the growth process of those trees. You see, He spoke to me on a level that I could understand. Just as He spoke to Jeremiah on a level that he could understand. Just as He will speak to you on a level that you can understand in your soul. That's right. You see, Jesus stands at the door and He knocks of your heart. And He's waiting to come in and sup with you and fellowship with you and teach you on a level that you understand. You've spent all your life in the Central African Republic. Well, Jesus has been there all your life with you. He understands everything about you. He understands everything about the Central African Republic. And He can teach you in light of your culture, in light of your background. You don't need to come to America to learn about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is right there where you live. That's right. You know, I run into everybody. Everybody wants to come to America. Like going to America is going to heaven. It's not. It's just as sinful as where you live. It's just as hard to live here as it is to live where you live if you're living in sin. But if you walk with the Holy Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you can prosper, you can be blessed, you can live abundantly wherever you are. Why? Because He is there. And He is your source of blessing. He is everything you need. Glory to God. Don't think of coming to America. Stay where you're at. You're needed right there. The reason you were born there is because you're needed there. And unless the Holy Spirit tells you by revelation to go to America, then you stay where you're at. Or go wherever He tells you to go. But you were born there for a reason. You were born there because there's people there that you need to reach. And you just need to be led by the Spirit. And you can have all the things that you desire in your life. That's right. That's right. Glory to God. How do I receive revelation? Well, my responsibility is to believe God that He's going to give it to me. My responsibility is to believe God that He's going to give it to me. And if I need to know, then He's got to show me. Because He promises in Philippians 4:19, let's look there. How do I receive God? How do I receive revelation? I believe God that he will give it to me when I need it. Because his word says, my God shall supply all your need. This is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I need revelation, he will give it to me. I believe that. That's all that's required for me to receive revelation, is to believe that he will give it to me. And as I believe him, and as he's willing to give it, then he gives it. See? Revelation comes at two different times. When you ask for it, and when you don't ask for it. And it's as the Spirit wills to give it. You know what? If I ask for revelation and I don't receive any, then I assume I don't need to know anything. That's right. But I ask for revelation, and when I ask for revelation, and when he decides to give it to me, then he gives it to me, then I know. But if I don't need to know something, then he won't tell me. It's just that right, because it's all on a need-to-know basis. It's all on a need-to-know basis. And it comes to you, revelation comes to you, when you ask for it and believe God that he'll give it to you. Then at times, it comes sovereignly, when you don't ask for it. That's right. I'll just be walking along at times, and the Lord will say something to me. Just, as we say, out of the blue. I'll just be walking along, and he'll show me something, or he'll say something to me. That's his privilege. He's the Lord. He's always with me. I talk to him. He talks to me. It's simple. It's simple. If you just understand the Lord as being physically there with you, he talks to me when he wants to talk to me. I talk to him. Sometimes I talk to him and he doesn't want to talk to me. Other times he talks to me, he initiates the conversation. That's how it comes. And I simply expect that when I ask him for something, knowing that it's a need, that he'll give it to me. That's right. I'm going to pray for someone. I need to know what to pray for. Lord, show me what to pray for. And then he shows me. I pray for it and it gets healed. That's right. Because I need to know. You'll receive revelation at two different times, when you ask for it and when you don't ask for it. So always, always, always be sensitive to your spirit. Because there'll be times that he'll speak to you, and you, if you're not sensitive to your spirit, you'll think that it's just another thought coming into your mind that you thought. But no, it's coming from the Lord. And you need to be sensitive to your spirit. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you don't try to figure everything out. But you're always acknowledging him, and he'll direct your paths. That's what Proverbs 3 says. 5 and 6 says, that's how to receive revelation. That's how to be led by the Spirit. That's how to walk with God. Trust in the Lord. Don't try to figure everything out. Always acknowledge him all day long, and that might mean 30, 40, 50 times during the day. I talk to Jesus all the time. I talk to him about everything. I talk to him all. I acknowledge his presence all the time. And sometimes he answers back, and sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes he starts the conversation. That's right. Because it's as the Spirit wills. And all I do is acknowledge him, and he shall. There's the promise of God. He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Glory to God. You see, revelation comes to the inner man of spirit. It comes to the inner man of spirit. We've had this verse before. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. That he would grant you, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, revelation comes from the Holy Spirit to the inner man of spirit. Then your spirit, being a part of you, can communicate it to your mind. That's right. That's right. The Holy Spirit speaks to you through your inner man, through your spirit man. And the Holy Spirit, as he works through your spirit of man, enlivens your soulish mind, your brain. Say, your brain. That's right. He enlivens your understanding. He enlivens The Spirit within you strengthens and enlivens your mind. He makes you smart. He makes you sharp. That's right. He makes you aware. He makes you knowledgeable, and He makes you full of power. That's right, as you are led by His Spirit. You will see it. You'll hear it. You'll smell it. You'll taste it. You'll touch it. Or you'll just know it at times. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, bless your heart. Verse 13 says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." He will guide you. There's a promise of God, you see. "For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." He'll show you things to come. Not just things to come in biblical prophecy, but things to come in your life. He will show you things to come. He'll show you how to avoid things. He'll show you how to avoid snares and traps that the devil has placed in your path. He'll show you where He wants you to go in the future. He'll show you what the devil's plans are for you in the future, and He shows you what the Lord's plans are for you in the future. He will show you things to come so that you make the right decisions. You should know when major things happen in your life, even before they happen, because He'll show you things to come. And if you'll stay sensitive to the Spirit, He will keep you aware and keep you sharp so that you're not defeated, but that you take that situation and use it for the maximum advantage for the kingdom of God. Glory to God. That's right. Oh, I can tell you story after story of the things that the Lord has shown me, and that if I've stayed aware of what He was showing me, I avoided the problem. Or if I didn't stay aware of it, even though He showed it, just because He shows it to you doesn't mean that you're going to handle it right, because you've got to receive a word of wisdom. At times He'll show you things and you'll still get into a disaster even though He showed it to you, and He'll teach you afterwards how you missed it. That's right. I've had this happen. Glory to God. But what a great promise. He'll show you things to come, and He'll show you how to avoid them. He'll show you how to avoid the traps of the enemy, and He'll show you how to fulfill the walk by the Spirit in fulfilling your course and your ministry in life. Glory to God. And you know He does it? He'll show you things in pictures. He'll show you things in pictures. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1 says, It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of or from the Lord. I will receive visions. I will come to visions and revelations from the Lord. If God would do this for Paul, He'll do it for you, because God is no respecter of persons. He will show you things by revelation. He will show you things by revelation. And we'll talk in a later session about developing your spiritual perception. And basically, when He really talks to me is those times when I'm quiet and in prayer. That's right. He talks to me in those times when I'm quiet and in prayer. He shows me things by revelation. Look at Acts chapter 10. Here was Peter up on the housetop. Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. This was an open vision. This was an open vision. You see, there's different degrees of visions that you'll see, or pictures that you'll see. Most times, when I receive revelation in pictures, it's just a very quick thing. It's a very, very quick thing. But there are times, and there have been times, when the Lord has just basically taken me out of my senses and just taken me into the spirit realm and taught me things and showed me things. See, this is what the word calls a trance, when you're basically so into the spirit realm that you're just not aware physically of your physical surroundings. You're just not aware of your physical surroundings. You're just into the spirit realm, and he's showing you things. This doesn't happen every day. In fact, if you have one in your life, you're a blessed person. But he does show you things very quickly in pictures at times, in other degrees of revelation. You see, there's different degrees of visions that you'll get. But the kind of trance vision that Peter had here, it doesn't say that he had it every day. But this was a very special situation so that he could take it and minister to the Gentiles and open the Word of God to the Gentiles. See? But he can, if he did it for Peter, he can do it for you. And he's done it for men in the past, down through the centuries. You'll see things. You'll see things. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Perhaps the most concise verse on Revelation that I know in the Bible. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1. The revelation, apocalypsis, of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's right. God the Father gave the revelation to Jesus, who gave it to his servants through the Holy Spirit. And in this case, he gave it to him through an angel. That's right. To show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That's what he promised the Spirit would do in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, and he shall show you things to come. If you walk by the Spirit, and if you spend much time in prayer, you'll have very few surprises in your life. You'll have very few things come up that you do not already know about and that you're not already prepared to handle. Glory to God. That's a great truth, what I just said. You'll see it at times. You'll hear it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here was a situation where Samuel both saw and heard the revelation. And in verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. Well, let's get down to verse 15. I don't want to read the whole section here. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. You see, I told you that the Holy Spirit would prepare you for things that come up in your life. If you'll just be led by the Spirit, He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. If you will be led by the Spirit, He will prepare you for them. Here the Lord had prepared Samuel for this event that was coming up. He told him a day in advance. He said, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of Israel. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. And when the Lord, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the Lord said unto him, look, behold the man whom I spake to thee of. He showed him by revelation. And then he said to him, look, there's the man. Behold the man whom I spoke to thee of. This same shall reign over my people. At this time, Saul had no idea what was going to happen, that he was going to reign over the children of Israel. Samuel had no idea until the day before. But the Lord, who knows everything, was able to prepare Samuel so that he was sharp and that he was able to handle the situation that came up. Samuel both saw it and he heard it. Glory to God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you'll walk by the Spirit, you won't be surprised, because you'll know in advance what's going to happen in your life, both good and bad. That's right. He'll show you what the devil's trying to do, and he'll show you the way he wants you to go. But he'll prepare you. Before I was ever allowed to go minister in Africa, the Lord spent much time preparing me to minister over there. And each time that I go, the Lord prepares me to minister. He shows me what I'm going to be up against. He shows me what's going to happen so that I can deal with it. Now, how well I deal with it is not as good as he shows me at times. But he at least is faithful to show me. And as he gives me word of wisdom, then I'm able to follow it, and I'm able to carry out his will in spite of what happens around me. For instance, he showed me that the car was going to blow up. You see? Had the other men responded to what the Lord showed me, they wouldn't have had that damaged car. Glory to God. But he spoke, and he's faithful, and he will show you things to come. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the Lord and this child Samuel, verse 1, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down into his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, that ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel. He spoke it in an audible voice. You see, just as there's degrees of vision revelation that you'll receive, there's degrees of audio or hearing revelation that you receive. At times it's a still small voice. At times it's a more authoritative voice. At times it's an audible voice, and it sounds just as audibly real to your mind as if somebody was physically speaking to you. This was audible voice revelation. This wasn't a still small voice. I'll show you that in another section. But this was audible voice revelation. There's degrees of hearing revelation as well as degrees of seeing revelation. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." He went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel!" And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "And I called not. My son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Does that mean that Samuel wasn't saved? No, he was saved. But he just didn't know the Lord in that intimate relationship of knowing the Lord's voice. And that's like so many millions of God's people are. They are saved, but they don't know the Lord. They don't know him because they haven't spent time with him. You see, if you're going to be in the university of Jesus, you got to spend time with Jesus. You got to get to know the Lord and know him on an intimate, personal relationship. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And Samuel called. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he went and rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me, Lord." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Finally, Eli began to realize what was going on. And so Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel! Samuel!" This is five times that he mentioned Samuel's name. Remember I told you that the number five was the number for grace? You see, it's a work of grace that you and I receive revelation. It's not by our works, bless God, because our works are never worthy enough. It's by his mercy and by his grace that he speaks to you and I, his sons and daughters.